from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
Well, today is the day people are celebrating the wrong thing as usual.
And here we are.
You know, we're not trying to be killjoys. I love, what Christmas, the atmosphere of Christmas. The lights are pretty. There's a lot that appeals to the senses. I admit that. Sometimes people are happy and more joyous this time of year. Some not. But what I don't like about the holiday is the dishonor it does to the truth, because it is a distraction. I think it's one of the adversaries' many ways to detract from the two administrations we're going to talk about here today. People are so focused on a little baby in the manger, but the Bible never tells us to celebrate this. We're thankful he was incarnate. We're thankful the Word became flesh. But if we're going to celebrate anything, why don't we celebrate this, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? We are in number 8 of the 12 administrations. This is the transition administration through Paul. And we talked about the Pentecostal administration yesterday, number 7. If you look in your Bible, the book of Acts has two main people. The first part is Peter. The second part of Acts is Paul. Acts 1 through 12 is Peter. Acts 13 through 28 is Paul. And this is where Paul goes out to the nations with the message of justification. And this is a transition period, because during the book of Acts, remember, we point out the administrations, God is slowly revealing himself. Mm-hmm. Same when Paul's ministry to the nations is in the Acts period, God is unveiling truth to Paul for the nations. Justification by faith and conciliation.
That had never happened before.
And it had never happened before. Never before this time period was justification by faith proclaimed. And Paul's message was concerning the crucified, buried, and risen Christ in the book of Acts. Crucified, buried, risen. The gospel, the grace of God in Acts 13 to 28 was God, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Doesn't go to the ascension yet. And in Romans 6, Paul says we're crucified, buried, and risen with Christ. Doesn't go to the ascension yet. In Acts 13 through 28, Paul lays the foundation. It's a transition, showing what the cruci— See, both Paul and Peter both preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Both of them have that in common.
Different applications.
But Paul talked about justification. Mm-hmm. You see? And this is number 8, the transition administration through Paul. And we find that in his earlier letters, Romans especially, Corinthians, and Galatians.
I think we need to say here real quick.
During the Acts period.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Real quick, the last administration we talked about, the Pentecostal, it gradually failed.
It fails. Here's the best way to illustrate Acts. And I'm going to tell you, this is how you do it. Take a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, lay it sideways, okay? And on the top left, write Jew. Bottom left, write Gentile. On the other side of the paper, on the top, write Gentile. At the bottom, write Jew. Okay? That piece of paper is a book of Acts. Now draw a line. The Jew is on the top at the beginning of the Acts.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the bottom,
mm-hmm,
at the end of Acts. The Gentile is at the bottom at the beginning of the Acts, and he's at the top.
By the end of Acts.
End of Acts. And where those two lines meet, write Acts 9 through 13.
And what happens then?
That's when the Saul call of Tarsus,
yes,
is converted.
That's the beginning
and that
of
is
this new administration.
And so the whole book of Acts is transitional. Israel's fading out. Paul is bringing in the Gentiles. And so it's a whole transition. God is still dealing with Israel in the book of Acts.
And again,
and
remember,
yet,
it's never happened before.
It's never happened before. Now Paul is going out to the Gentiles. And that is a transition administration. Okay, the last part of the book of Acts. And then finally, at the end of the book of Acts, God sets aside Israel. The Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 6, seeing you shall not see, and hearing you won't hear and understand. And he says, now the salvation of God had gone to the Gentiles. And so God sets aside Israel at the book of Acts. And then what does Paul do? In number the administration number 9, the administration of the secret, Paul unveils something that was never known before. And it is in connection with the ascended Christ. Paul is not so much concerned with Christ dying and being buried and rising again, but with Christ being roused, vivified, and ascended. Paul is now dwelling on what is connected with the ascended Christ. And in Ephesians, it talks about us, the members of the body of Christ, having a celestial allotment. Never before was this unveiled.
No, never.
Never before. Never.
This is like rocket science.
Exactly.
Compared with what went
now,
before.
Now, keep in mind, Romans, the basic truth, crucified, buried, risen. Ephesians, what does it say about us?
Seated among the celestials.
Seated among the celestials. That is suited. See, new glories of Christ are opened up in the secret, the ninth administration. In other words, before Paul unveiled this in Ephesians,
it was a secret.
It was a secret what God was going to do with the risen and ascended Christ. Up until this point, the ascended Christ was going to come back down and do his
yes.
thing. But God had a secret that he had a plan for the celestial regions, not just the earth, but the celestial
regions.
Which means
you could have gone to those first 8 vending machines and cranked those cranks all day trying to find something to get you to heaven.
And you couldn't.
To be seated with Christ among the celestials. You crank, you go to the next one. You crank, you go to the next one. You crank, you go to human government. Crank, you go to law. Crank, you go to the incarnation. Crank, you go to Pentecost in the first 9 chapters of Acts. You cannot find it. Not until you get to this new administration of the secret, you pull the crank and you see something that has never been dispensed before. Out from that administration comes an expectation of a heavenly allotment.
Yeah, and see, all this focus on a baby in a manger takes away from this.
It does. It takes us backward.
We no longer know Christ after the
flesh. 2 Corinthians 5.
We're spending all our time looking at a stable, looking at a manger,
right,
rather than looking up at the right hand where Christ is now seated and seeing that God's burden today is to unveil the glories of the ascended Christ. How come there's no holiday for that?
Hey,
how come we don't have a holiday celebrating the conversion of Saul of Tarsus and the message
exactly.
he proclaimed?
And again, this does not mean that God is done with Israel, because as we said, remember, these things are cumulative. He doesn't discard that which went before. He still has to fulfill it.
Yeah. And so Paul is the administrator today, and one day God is going to snatch away those who are under Paul's ministry to glory, to their celestial allotment. And then what takes place? Number 10.
Yeah, something really radical takes place when the body of Christ is gone.
Time of judgment.
Judgment, and the kingdom administration is going to be administered. But before
that's right.
it is, there's birth pangs, also
right.
known as the day of indignation.
And that's when we see the 7 seals, the 7 bowls, and the 7 trumpets, as in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 1 through 19, is really what we're talking about here, the period of the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's the administration of judgment. That's the 10th one. Then it follows.
And what you cannot, again, apply that administration now. Again, because the opposite thing is true. If you try to pull those levers of those previous trying to find grace, you won't find it.
Nope.
And if you skip ahead one machine and go to the machine number 10, the indignation, you're not going to find grace. And people are mixing that today. They think that God is judging the world today, but he's not. He doesn't judge it till later. He's not judging. Men are getting away with murder. You can spit in God's face today and receive grace.
But
it won't be true in the coming time. Yes. That's why we told you a couple weeks ago, now is a most advantageous time to receive the evangel of the grace of God, because this machine is going to close down.
And then following the era of judgment, the number 10, the 10th administration, we have the administration of the kingdom. And this is the kingdom the Lord preached when he was on earth in his incarnation.
This was not a secret.
He proclaimed repent, for the kingdom of the heavens hath drawn near. And this is the kingdom he's referring to. The 11th administration, the kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth, ruling and reigning with his 12 apostles, sitting on 12 tribes, judging the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is an actual literal kingdom. It's 1,000 years in duration, and this is not a so-called spiritualized kingdom. It's as literal This kingdom is as literal as Babylon, as literal as Greece, as literal as any kingdom is mentioned in Daniel 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as literal. Jesus Christ will be coming back to this earth to reign and to set up this Jewish nation once again. And that letter that you read about this, talking about the Jews, that's called anti-Semitism. Whether they may like, but it's in In fact, it's anti-Semitism. It's saying God never meant what he said to Abraham. He never meant what he said to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. God is going to fulfill to the letter every promise he has for them. And if he doesn't, what business do you and I have believing God is going to do anything for us?
If he doesn't, he's a liar.
That's right. And God's not a liar. We proclaim here that let God be true and every man a liar. Whereas any other kind of teaching says, let God be a liar because he doesn't mean what he says. Now, what follows the kingdom, Martin?
Well, what seems outrageous is at the end of the kingdom, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. During the kingdom, he's bound. And at the end of the kingdom, at the tail end of it, he is loosed. And lo and behold, he goes to the four corners of the earth, and he unleashes a rebellion against Jerusalem. So this is yet another demonstration. God is very patient, isn't he, and very long-suffering with these demonstrations, that not only the man is given a perfect government and Satan himself is bound, as soon as Satan comes back, it's almost like a repeat, only with many more advantages, of the Garden of Eden. As soon as God leaves the scene and Satan comes on the scene, man falls. And in the kingdom, as soon as Satan is released, 10 minutes later, he has an army, and they're ready to take over Jerusalem.
That's it. And then follows a new heavens and a new earth.
Great white throne judgment.
A new heavens and new earth is number 12. And that's when we see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And it's a wonderful time. It's the best time on earth that it's going to be.
Most people think that the Garden of Eden was the best time on earth that man had ever seen. But look at this. This is paradise regained.
Yes.
In the new earth, if you read about it in the book of Revelation, this is the paradise of God. It's this new city, Jerusalem, comes down from heaven, 1,500 miles long, wide, and high. It's resplendent. There's no need for the sun or the moon to shine. The glory of God fills the place. God himself dwells with mankind. There's no more priesthood. There's a river of life running through it with trees and the fruit for the healing of the nations. And you say, well, that's what they had in Genesis. Why did God go through all these 12 administrations to bring us here? Because here we finally have a true and deep appreciation of who God is because of the experience of evil mankind has gone through. It is Job in an elaborated form here. We see Job coming to the end of himself, and because of the experience of evil we've been through, because of knowing what it's like not to have God, we're going to appreciate this new paradise much more than Adam and Eve ever appreciated the old.
And this last administration is not the end. It doesn't bring us to the end. These are all within the confines of the ages.
One more thing's going to happen.
Yes.
The consummation
death will eventually
of the
be abolished, and God will be all in all.
1 Corinthians 15.
Ah, yes. This is a whole lot better than Easter bunnies and manger scenes, baby.
And what it sure is.
Yeah.
If you can believe this or not, some people object to things we have just said. And, you know, although it might seem ugly, we're going to look at the letter next week. We're going to look at some common objections to this. And by the time next week is over, this is going to be so ingrained in you that you're going to wonder how you ever believed any other way. I'm Martin Zender.
This is Dan Sheridan.
Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.